Blog Talk Radio.
As we, dial in this routine and
Yah is going to bless. And so I'm just thanking the Most High for all that he does and for, you know, giving me this particular thing to do. I mean, I could have done almost anything, just tired of IT and wanted to change. Would have loved to have done ministry full-time, but that's not working at the moment. But it will get there, and so I have no doubt. So we are going to be doing the nice pre-stuff. I wanted to give the people a little bit of meat to bite off and chew on. But I wanted to give my Hebrew brothers and sisters a little piece of meat to bite off and chew on. I want to give the Gentiles a little piece of meat to bite off and chew on. Because there are some falsehoods that are going around both groups concerning Israel. Israel's perception of who the Most High is going to save what does Paul mean, and the Gentiles believing that they have replaced Israel. And so I want to go by the scriptures through this, and it may take me a couple of lessons to do, but we will definitely start it tonight. And this is not to offend anyone. This is always in love, and it's to so that we can have the right perception and expectation of what the Most High wants of us and what he's expecting and what he has done to Israel and what he has done with the new ecclesia. Because I'm going to show that Israel is the church. And so the church in the New Testament still refers to Israel. And so the Israel has to understand what its role is, and the Gentiles have to understand what their role is. And so I won't give away everything right here. Hold on just a second. I've been up very early this morning, and I think I need a coffee just so I can stay alert. All right, so I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. I want to greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the only name whereby men must be saved. Whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent or you're in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, or any of the communist bloc countries, wherever you're at in the world and you listen to this broadcast, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, in the English. On today, we are going to go over our foundations of discipleship because we need to always keep that before us as disciples of Messiah. And we are going to get into this precept. I will probably do a part A and a part B. Depends upon how far I get tonight. Depends upon how far we get tonight. So I want to say shalom, Shabbat shalom to my brothers and sisters who are listening. If you have called in, Shabbat shalom to you. If you are in the classroom, Shabbat shalom to you. If you are on the internet listening, Shabbat shalom to you, wherever you are at. I am just so stoked and happy with, you know, what the Most High is showing me. More of our people are waking up. When I say our people, I'm speaking of the American Negro, so-called Hebrew. You know, we're waking up and still not wanting to accept the total truth of the matter. You know, you have people waking up and trying to tell you who you are and then trying to tell you how things are. And I said, you know, you got people who have been in this thing for a minute and who are, you know, who aren't just, who haven't just awakened. And you may want to sit back and take notes. you may want to ask questions because they're, you know, they're thinking that they're revealing some things that, that are like unknown. I'm like, oh, no, that's not unknown. And even some of the things that, you know, we have the Greeks coming out now saying that they got all their knowledge from the Egyptians. I did a precept in that vein probably, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years ago. Maybe I need to pull it out and dust it off again. But it was when I was doing spiritual warfare and I was doing the spirit of superiority. Where does that spirit of superiority come from? And so I walked it down from the Greeks to the Romans to the European theater to the American, the history of this. And, you know, some people thought that this was, you know, new knowledge. I said, no. Yah has been and revealed this, and the track by which it, you know, came about, because a lot of people don't understand why they got that, you know, especially among us, our Caucasoid brothers and sisters don't understand why they have this feeling that they're superior. And they, as a people, feel that. They don't understand where it comes from. And that, you know, it's an aspect of pride. And the scriptures tell us, you know, the Most High hates pride. And so it's one of the areas as a, you know, as a people, if you're a Hebrew Israelite and you feel you're superior because you're a Hebrew Israelite, you need to repent. And if you are white or any other race and you feel you're superior, you need to repent. That is a spirit that is in the world, and it comes from the Greek and the Roman Empire. And it's just, you know, as those empires fragmented and split up and became multiple empires, multiple countries, the people maintained that attitude. So, you know, I was having that conversation, and so, you know, the people were saying some certain things to me, and I just sort of said, hey, already been there, done that, and it is something that people have to repent for because it's not acceptable with most times. Nevertheless, that's a whole different topic than what we're going to be discussing tonight and tomorrow. And I want to talk about, has Yah cast away his people? Because a lot of Gentiles believe that Yah has cast away his people. And then a lot of us who are not of the Gentile nations, but we have a Gentile mentality because we don't know who we are. And we act like Gentiles for all practical purposes. You are Gentiles until you recognize who you are and come to Yah the way you're supposed to come to him as who you are. So to make a long story short, and this is not what we're going to cover tonight, but I'm going to say this in the overview before we pray in. If you are African American or you are the Negroid stock, no matter what country you're in, and you got there by slavery, 99.9% chance you are a Hebrew Israelite. You know, I'm going to say you're a Hebrew, okay? A Hebrew. You're not a Hebrew Israelite. You're a Hebrew. Now, what makes you a Hebrew Israelite is when you come back to the Most High and receive his plan of salvation, and then you come back and obey his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, his ordinances. Then you are a Hebrew Israelite because you not only get your citizenship back in the kingdom, but you also get your nationality back. Israelite is a nationality. Hebrew is an ethnicity. So if it says nation, you would be considered Hebrew up under, like, nation in the scriptures is ethnos, or ethnicity, what race you are, okay? And that would be Hebrew. Israelite would be your nationality, okay? And when the Most High kicked Israel out of the country, kicked us out of the country, our forefathers out of the country, first Israel in the northern kingdom and then Judah in the southern kingdom, and scattered us throughout all the world. and we'll talk about that at another time. It's going to kind of hit on it tonight. Then we were a people without a country. We had no nationality. We could say we were Hebrew Israelites, but we really had no country because Moses says, I kicked you out. I cut you off. No longer my people. Israel belongs to the Most High, not to us as a people. That's why he told Abraham, you're a sojourner in my land. He told us that we were sojourners in his land. You're visitors. And as long as you do what I ask you to do, you can stay, and it'll be your land. But if you don't, then I'm going to kick you out of the land. That's where we find ourselves today. So you got to understand that just being a Hebrew doesn't make you an Israelite, and it doesn't make you a member of the nation of Israel. And so we're going to kind of hit on those things tonight. What I want Israel to understand is, you know, we have some doctrines out there that are going around saying that all Israel shall be saved, no matter what. We need to look at that, okay? So without me giving away too much, let me have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads no matter where you're listening at, and let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this afternoon or on this evening. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory, 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 glory to your name. All glory and honor and praise belong to you, O Yah Elohim, for you are majesty upon majesty. You are glory upon glory. Hallelujah. You are righteous upon righteousness. Hallelujah. All things are by you, Father, and all things consist of you. Hallelujah. We just praise and worship you on today, O Yah Elohim. We bow down and we worship you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. We just glorify you on this day, and we magnify your name, and we lift you up, for you are our Elohim, hallelujah, and there is no other, hallelujah. All of our praise and worship go to you and to you alone, oh Yah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000 praises to you, oh Yah, for you are worthy. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. There is none like unto you, Father. No, not one. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim, our Sabbath prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you, O Israel, have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said that if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. And Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you've placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us the meek and humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call for in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, that they would come and obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us faith in all that we do, in your still homage precious name. Amen and amen. And we will have the blowing of the shofar, for this is Yah Shabbat, and we shall do as we are commanded.
I'm protect all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you, you are my Elohim, you're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that the sign, you are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back.
Yeah. not by power, by your spirit, God. Send your spirit,
because Messiah said that, you know, we are to become like him. And to become like him, he said he has certain demands that every one of his followers, those that say they are saved by him, have to do. It's not should do, it's a have to do. And so we want to cover those. Okay, so a discipleship really means a follower or a student, to cut it, you know, to the short of it. A student of one. You follow their discipline, you follow their teaching, and you become, you want to emulate them, become like them. So we are all disciples, male and female. It's not just a male thing, because I know we got teachings out there that don't believe that there's anything in the scriptures hardly for females. But the truth of the matter is, the scriptures say there is neither male nor female in Mashiach. And so these things, being a disciple of Mashiach and becoming like Mashiach is for mankind. Mankind includes male and female. Okay. So, you know, I want to make that perfectly clear, because I know a lot of sisters are being taught that there's nothing that they can do. You know, they're basically set up type of deal. But that is not what is in the scripture. Okay. So, foundations of discipleship. Let us go to Matthew chapter 13. And let's get verse 9, and then we will jump down. Verse 9, 10, and 11. Okay, and because Messiah says, who has ears to hear, let him hear. Everybody got ears. Only a deaf person wouldn't be able to hear, but it's really talking about he that has ears to hear, let him understand. Not just hear it, but understand. And his disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you speaking to the masses in parables? Why don't you just say to them plainly what you want them to know? So they asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. To know the kingdom is not given to everyone, and it wasn't given to the masses in Messiah's time, and it's not given to the masses today. It's only given to those that the Most High chooses. So it's got to be given to you to understand the parables, to understand the kingdom, to understand what Messiah's, what he's talking about, period. Okay. For whosoever has to him shall be given, verse 12, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. You got to understand, as a disciple, everybody's not given the understanding. It's not given to them. Okay, and so they can hear this scripture, and they can hear teachings all day long, and if they don't belong to him, it's not given to them to understand it. They can come to an understanding, but it won't be the truth. Okay, so this is why he spoke to them in parables, and this is why he didn't want everybody to understand. He didn't want everybody to be healed. He didn't want everybody to come to salvation, even though he died for the sins of all the world. But, you know, if you are wicked, he's not here for you. If you won't obey his voice, he's not here for you. And we got to understand that. So we have to want. Now, he's going to give us the requirement. Stand. Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. Let's get verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Because this, as a disciple, this is what you must do first. But seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the things pertaining to the kingdom, all the things that you need to get into the kingdom, all the things that you need to maintain this life in a righteous way. Seek Elohim and his righteousness, and you will live in righteousness, and you will receive everything that you're supposed to receive. in the time that you're supposed to receive it. But you got to first seek the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. The first thing any disciple has to do. Go to Matthew chapter 13. The book of Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to get verse 44. Now, Messiah is giving examples of the kingdom. And he's telling you what your mentality should be toward the kingdom. He says, seek the kingdom first and Elohim and his righteousness. Now you've got to place a certain value on the kingdom of Elohim. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like an unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all. You got to be willing to give up all. You got to believe that the kingdom of the Most High is so precious that there's nothing in your life more valuable than his kingdom. Getting into his kingdom and buys that field. He wants your all. In this case, he wanted you to sell your all to enter into his kingdom. Okay, so seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. First thing you got to do is a good disciple. Second thing you got to do is value the kingdom above everything else. Now, these are not suggestions. These are things that you must do. Okay. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, whom when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Again, he's reiterating to you that you have to give your all. Can't be anything in your life more important than the kingdom. This is if we want to be disciples of his. Because, you know, we got the world following after Messiah, and we keep saying, you know, what does it mean when he says, get away from me, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not. That's going to apply to a lot of people because they don't understand the tenets of discipleship. They don't understand what he requires. And you don't have to settle for second best. This is what he requires. So it's not a suggestion. And anything short of this, you're just not going to make it. Put it where we can get it. Anything short of this, we're not going to make it. Okay? Verse 46. Let's go to Psalm 119. So first, seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. Second, you got to value the kingdom more valuable than anything that you can achieve in this world, anything that you want. You got to value the kingdom higher. It's the highest thing in your life. Getting into his kingdom. Living in his kingdom. Okay. Psalms 119 and 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that they seek him with the whole heart. So you got to seek him with your whole heart. You can't seek him with leftovers. You can't seek him with, you know, I got to take care of the family first. I got to take care of the husband or the wife first. I got to take care of the children first. The Most High says, I will add all those things unto you, and I'll make sure that you are favored and that all those things work out to your good. But you got to seek me with your whole heart. You got to give me your all. When he said you know, you couldn't have anything more valuable than him and you would give up your all, that also includes your heart, your mind. You got to turn it over completely to him. You want to be his disciple. Okay. Drop down to verse 34. Psalms 119 and 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. You have to observe his statutes, his law, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments with your whole heart. Meaning that you're going to obey them no matter what. And when man comes up with something that contradicts the laws of the Most High, contradict his judgments, his ordinances. You're going to keep the laws, the ordinance of the Most High, the statutes, the commandments of the Most High. You're going to do them with your whole heart, above everything. And if you have understanding, then you know this. I got to do this with my whole heart. I can't just give him a piece of me. I can't keep some of it that's convenient and not keep it all, because he wants all. And this is what's required for us of our discipleship. Now let's go and look and see what Messiah himself said. This is our King speaking to us, down through the generation. It is written. All we got to do is read it and do it. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 14. The book of Luke, any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, or if you are female, and her own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's not a black, that's not a gray issue. You can't be a follower of mine if you're not, if I'm not number one in your life. If you love anybody more than you love me, if you will give me up for anybody, if you will put anybody before me, even your own self, you cannot be my disciple. That's not Brother Miles saying that. That's Messiah saying that. This is what he requires. Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross, not willing to do whatever it takes, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. Cannot do it. So we're supposed to be becoming Christ-like, Messiah-like. We're supposed to be following him. We're supposed to be disciples of his. This is what every saint is supposed to be doing. He says, if you don't do it this way, you can't be my disciple. I'm not taking second place. I'm not taking second best. I'm not taking your best if it falls short of this. So don't get mad at the messenger. These are our King's own words, our Savior's own words, our Elohim's own words. You cannot be my disciple if you're not willing to do these things. You love anybody more than me, even your own self, you cannot be my disciple. Not you're going to be a bad disciple. Cannot be one. So we got people going through the motions, not understanding the requirements because they can't hear this. Keep on, verse 28. For which of you intend to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? In other words, you got to consider what it's going to take to be a disciple of Mashiach. You got to count the cost. It's going to cost me my all. Am I willing to pay all? Am I willing to give all? Am I willing to put him even before myself? You know, your mother, your sister, your brother, your father, your husband, your wife, your children. None of them can come before me, not even your own self can come before me. So you got to sit down and reconcile this thing. You got to make a conscious decision. Because anything short of this, he says you cannot be. That is black and white. You either are doing it or you are not. There is no in between. There is no trying. You either do it or you don't. And we got to understand that as disciples, as children of the Most High, as chosen by the Most High, these are his requirements. Don't need an interpretation here. But still, people won't see this. Their mind won't allow them to see it because they're not willing to do what it says to do. That's why they can't see it. So So you got to seek the kingdom first. You got to value the kingdom above everything else. You got to be willing to give him your whole heart. Give him your all. And then you can't have nobody else, not even yourself, before him. Can't come before him. He's got to be first, number one, period. Or you cannot be his disciple. Got anybody else in your life that you consider more important than the Most High? You cannot be his disciple. Again, this is not Brother Miles' words. We're reading this straight from the scripture. So you got to sit down and think about that, and you got to make a conscious decision. Either I can do this or I can't. Either I will do this or I won't, because try don't get it. Least happily, after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish. All that behold it began to mock him. You know, we've seen people that start off fast and they're on fire for Messiah. And then slowly but surely, that fire burns out. And then they are no longer about him, or they're doing what they think that he wants. But they're not on fire the way they were when they first started. But he wants you to commit wholeheartedly from the beginning. That's why the expectation needs to be made from the beginning. And people need to be explained to, hey, you coming into this? You got to give him your whole heart. You got to give him your all. He's got to be first thing in your life, above everybody, even yourself. Or you cannot be a disciple. You cannot be a follower of him. That is just the truth of the matter. Let's drop down to verse 33. So we can go ahead and move on. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, not some of what he has, not what we are willing to give up. The Most High wants your all. He wants my all. He wants all of his saints, all. Not just a piece of us. He cannot be my disciple. So you got to be willing to forsake all. You have to give him your all. The kingdom has to, period. Or else you're just going through the motions, okay? And it's not given to everybody to understand this or even hear it. It's just to him that has an ear, let him hear. I want your all. I want your whole heart. You either give me that or you can't be my disciple. Now, why they don't tell people this? And why they tell people, oh, just give it your best shot? Because they really just want people to be filtering money to them. It's not about you getting into the kingdom and not about you actually making it in. But this is the truth of the matter. We want to be his disciples. He has spelled it out clearly for us. And if we don't do these things, he says, you cannot be my disciple. We either accept that or we don't. Now on to tonight's precept. Has Elohim cast away his people? And I know we've read these verses before, but there are doctrines going around. There are teachings going around. There are opinions going around that, you know, amongst church people that they believe that the Most High has forsaken Israel. And he has cast his people away, and that they are the replacement for Israel. So I want to deal with Israel first, my brother and my sister. I want to deal with you first, and then I will deal with the Gentiles, the church. Start off dealing with Israel first, and then I'm going to deal with the Gentile church, because this is what you, whoever you are, should know. Whether you are a Hebrew or you are Gentile. And notice I didn't say Hebrew Israelite. Because even a lot of Hebrews believe that they're Israelites. They are not Israelites. There's only one way to become an Israelite, to get your citizenship back. And it's not through the bloodline. So we got to understand this. Okay, so let's jump into this. I want to go to we're going to start in the book of Romans, chapter 11. Then we're going to jump around. I want to set some foundations, something for us to stand on that's concrete from the scriptures. And then we're going to come back to Romans chapter 11, because Romans chapter 11 is dealing with some things that I feel that Israel doesn't want to deal with, and I feel that the church doesn't want to really deal with what is actually being said here. Okay. So let's go to Romans chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to get verse 1, and we're going to go somewhere else. And I pray that you follow me in the scriptures, because I don't want you to say Brother Miles said anything. Okay. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, has Elohim cast away his people? This is the question. Elohim forbid. For I also am an Israelite. And Paul knew that the Most High hadn't cast him away. He had just saved him on the road to Damascus, about 14, 17 years before this. And Paul is part of the new church. And we're going to look at that word church here in a minute. But he's part of the new church. And he knows he's an Israelite, even though he has his Roman citizenship as well. He's got dual citizenship. But he knows Elohim has not cast away his people. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So the answer to the question right off the bat is no. But now we want to look at some things, because I feel it's important, and the Most High has shown me this in this way, that Israel understands some things. I'm going to deal with Israel first. So I want to go to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 21. The book of Matthew chapter 21. And I'm going to begin to walk us through some things so that we have clarity in the scriptures, and the scriptures define themselves. Okay, Brother Miles is not going to be defining this. We're going to use the scriptures to define these things. So Matthew, the book of Matthew, and I lost my place, chapter 21, verse 43. Matthew chapter 21, verse 43. And as I said, this will probably be two lessons. I don't think I will be able to finish it all in one night. But we'll see. We're going to let Yah have his way. Matthew 21 and 3. Therefore say I unto you. Now he's talking to Israel. Okay. And this is talking about the wicked men who the Most High left in charge of his kingdom and went away. And he sent his servants to these men, and they killed his servants. They beat some, they killed. So let's go back up and read this so we get understanding. Let's go back to verse 33. So we get the context of what's being talked about here, and then we can see what the Most High is saying to Israel. Hear another parable. Now remember, he spoke in parables because he didn't want the masses to understand. So it's that he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. If you don't understand what I'm saying, then ask the Most High to give it to you. Okay, because he's the one that has to reveal it. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it all around about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and rented it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. The husbandman that owns this land, this is his son. He will inherit the land that we are farming, and we're not giving the husbandman, the owner, the rent, the fruit off the land. So if we kill his son, he won't have anybody to inherit the land, and we'll just keep the land and keep doing what we're doing, is what they're saying. Let us seize on his inheritance. Let's kill the son, the heir, and we'll just keep doing what we're doing. And we won't send the owner any rent. We won't send him the fruit of the land. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the master, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? Now he's asking the Pharisees and the Sadducees this. He's asking Israel, when the husbandman comes back, when the Most High or when the master of the vineyard comes back, what will he do unto these husbandmen? Then say to him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their season. So they have pronounced their own sentence, and they don't know it. They have pronounced their own judgment, because he's talking about them. Yeshua said unto them, did you never read the scriptures, that the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner? That is Yah's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. It's a question. Did you ever read that? Did you ever understand it? Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of Elohim shall be taken from you. It was Israel's job to bring the kingdom to the world, to tell the world about salvation, to teach them how to worship the Most High. Israel kept falling and rejecting the Most High, rejecting his gift. They kept failing. And when Messiah came, they did not recognize the time of their visitation, and they killed him. So the husbandman in this parable is the Most High, and his son is Yeshua. And they kill the husbandman's son, thinking that they're going to inherit the kingdom without, as if the Most High has, you know, will die or go away or whatever. So he uses this parable to describe his relationship with the Most High and his relationship with Israel and what they are going to do. You're going to kill the son of the husbandman, and what he's going to do is he's going to take the kingdom of Elohim from you. And do what with it? And give it to a nation. This word nation here in the Greek is ethnos. Give it to another ethnicity, bringing forth fruit thereof. I'm going to take it from you and give it to another nation, bringing forth fruit. Doing what I asked them to do, what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to take this gospel to the world. Now I'm going to have to give it to another people to take it to the world. Now Israel has to understand that this is what we got fired from. Taking the gospel to the world. Telling the world, this is how you deal with the Most High. This is how you serve him. Because they did not deal with the Most High correctly, and they did not serve him correctly. So we got to deal with that aspect first. Because when we get into Romans, we're going to see some things that a lot of Hebrews don't want to accept. Okay, so got to first recognize that the kingdom of Elohim was taken from us, our forefathers, and given to another people, bringing forth fruit thereof. Now, this is what Messiah himself is saying. Because you killed me, had me killed, I'm taking the kingdom from you. And I'm taking the job to offer the kingdom to the rest of the world from you as a nation. I got a remnant I'm going to give it to. Okay? Let us go to the book of Acts, chapter 7. The book of Acts, chapter 7. And I expanded the wrong screen. Acts chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 36. We read verses 36 through 40. Because this is Stephen, and Stephen's going to make a reference back to something that we want to look into. Okay? The book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 36. Let's start in verse 35. I was going to do 36, but 35 gives us a little bit more context. And I want to make sure that we are in the right place, that we have understanding, that this is not Brother Miles saying this, this is the word of the Most High. This Moses, whom they refused, whom Israel refused, saying, who made thee? Now remember when Moses was in Egypt and he found two Hebrew Israelites, two Hebrews fighting with each other. And he broke up the fight and said, hey, you guys need to be, you know, looking out for each other. And they turned on him. Okay? So he's talking to these two Hebrews that he stopped fighting. Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? That's what they said to him the next day. When he thought that they would be thanking him because he killed the Egyptian for them. Wait a minute. First, an Egyptian was beating one of them. He killed the Egyptian. And then the next day he comes back and finds these two fighting. And he gets on them and he thinks that, you know, that about them fighting. And he thinks that they would thank him for what he did with the Egyptian. But they're saying, you know, who made you a ruler and a judge? The same did Elohim send to be a ruler and deliver by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out. Now, he is Moses, brought them out. After that, he had showed wonders. But I want you to outline brought them out. Because this is what means. This is the definition for church. And we're going to see them use this way in a minute. So he brought them out. After that, he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall Yah your Elohim raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall you fear. Him shall you hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, the church in the wilderness. The church is not a New Testament concept. The church was those people that the Most High, at that point, he brought Israel out. Now he calls us out. He brought Israel out, and Israel became the church, the congregation, those that were called out, those that were brought out. That's what church means. So when the church today is calling itself the church, what are they being called out from? They're going to be called out of sin. So that's not really what they're being called out of. Okay, so we're going to look at this in a minute. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. So Israel, those that the Most High calls out or brings out, are his church. This started with Israel in the wilderness. Okay? And so when we hear the word church today, we really got to understand that word. and understand the ecclesia, the called out ones. Okay. Let's go to, let's look at this word ecclesia or church in verse 38. In verse 38, when you look at that word in the Greek, it's ecclesia. From a compound, is from a compound of Strong's G1537, a derivative of Strong's G2564, a calling out. Concretely, a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation, Jewish synagogue, a Christian community of members on the earth, or saints in the, in heavenly, or both, assembly, church. So this is the calling out, the called out ones, the brought out ones. The Most High brought Israel out of Egypt. They became his church in the wilderness. And he was brought them in the wilderness to do what? To teach them his statutes, his laws, his commandments, to make of them a priesthood. That's the Most High's church. Okay? So we got to understand that. Now, when the Most High says, come out of her, my people, what does he mean by that? Come out of her. Who is her? Her, in this instance, let's go to Revelation chapter 18. The book of Revelation chapter 18. And we're going to start in verse 1. Revelation chapter 18, starting in verse 1. And we're going to read down through verse 5. Somewhere in there. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, Babylon the great is fallen. Fallen, and it's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So in this instance, Babylon is being referred to a woman. All right? And the Most High refers to his church as a woman, his people as a bride, his church as a woman. So this is talking about a people. And it's talking about a form of governance. It's talking about a relationship. Come out of her, fornication. This woman is fornicating. Is having sex outside of marriage other than the Most High. She's fornicating with other gods. We're going to see that. And so what she is causing the nations to do what? Fornicate with other gods. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through her, through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sin, and that you receive not of her plague. Now, I want to stop right here for a minute because you got a lot of brothers running around teaching that the United States of America, and specifically New York, is Babylon. Okay? That's Babylon. Okay, but the scriptures describe a woman that is riding on some people. Now, let's say that if the United States is Babylon, and he's calling his people out of Babylon, out of the United States, then we can interpret that one or two ways. Say, hey, all of the saints, Jew and Gentile, need to be leaving the United States. Now, most of the time, this is like Farrakhan and couple of my Hebrew brothers and sisters interpret this as the United States, and they're saying come out of the United States, just the Negroes, so-called Hebrews. And so they have turned it into a race thing, okay? But the truth of the matter is, you got to know who Babylon is, and in the first instance that we read about Babylon is with the statue that the Most High gave in the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And Babylon represented government, all the governments that would be over Israel, over the people of the Most High through time, that would possess the land of Israel throughout all history. That's what that dream was about. The head of it was Babylon. And at the end, he says, I'm going to bring down this system, man's government. I'm going to bring it down in the end. Okay? So that's one interpretation of Babylon. That's global. That's all government. So what he was saying is, Babylon means confusion. So you are in confusion if you think that you can govern yourself better than I can. And man has always attempted to govern himself. And so the Most High says, okay, this is what's going to happen, but I'm going to put Babylon at the top of it so that you understand the spiritual aspect of this, is that this is man trying to rule himself. And the greatest kingdom of all had to stop and give me glory and honor and recognize who I am. Nebuchadnezzar, the Most High turned him into a brute beast. Because he didn't recognize that it's the Most High that is control of this earth. It's the Most High that's governing everything and in control of everything. All these other kingdoms after that, they fall up under the same thing. They are men trying to rule men by men's laws, by men's statutes, by men's commandments, by men's ordinances, and not the statutes, laws, and commandments and the ordinances of the Most High. They are in Babylon. They are in confusion, all of them. So when he's saying, come out of her, my people, then he would be talking about what? Government, men's government, return to my government. Follow after me. Keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. Come out of her, my people. But then Babylon also in Revelation represents something else. It's still a ruling body. And it's a ruling body that believes that it's spiritual. And it causes the men, mankind in this case, to drink of her fornication. Now, as I said, the Most High has equated Israel to being his wife, a woman. He equates the church to being a woman. This Babylon here is a woman, and she represents a religious body, but she's feeding them lies and abominations. She's not giving them the truth. She is actually trying to replace the woman of the Most High, Israel. This is what Israel don't see in this. This woman in her abominations is trying to replace the wife of the Most High. But she causes men to fornicate and to worship other gods. Reward her even as she rewarded you, double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow. I'm married, but she's fornicating. and she's worshiping other gods. So she's saying that she's married to the Most High. And she's worshiping other gods. And she doesn't know that she don't have a husband. She don't know that the Most High says, hey, I ain't your God. And you say you are not a widow, but you're married, and you shall see no sorrow. So she's teaching the nation to worship other gods, other Elohim. Therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is Yah Elohim who judges her. You say you claim to be my wife, and you going to fornicate? And you going to teach men to fornicate? And to commit abomination in my name? You going to tell them they don't have to come to me? They got to go to you? And you're going to change my laws, my statutes, my commandments? You're going to change my Sabbath day and have them following you? I'm going to burn you with fire. You claim to be mine? This is what I do to those that claim to be mine and cheat. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. When the Most High brings this one down, see then all the nations of the world, and the vast majority, over half of the world, practices the faith that she teaches. And even the churches that came out from her, the churches that rebelled against her, are teaching abomination. Because it says she is the mother of harlots. Come out of her, my people. Come out of this false religion. Come out of these false churches to disobey the Most High and obey man. Most High said, I gave you my Sabbath day. They changed my Sabbath day. Most High says, don't create any images of anything in the heavens above or the earth beneath or under the waters or in the earth and bow down to them. No statues of a man or anything. But they took that out of the scriptures too, so their people don't follow it. Change the time. Change the law. So he's saying, come out of her. And this is, quote unquote, today's Christian church. You don't have to keep the laws of the Most High. You're not up under the laws of the Most High. But you're up under our laws. You worship on Sunday. We commanded you do that. The Most High said worship on Sabbath. The seventh day. We told you to worship on the first day. So this is who he's talking about. This woman that is selling herself, her, my people. Okay. Let's drop down. And let's get this one thing. Let's go down to verse 24, for time's sake, verse 24, Revelation chapter 18, verse 24. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and saints and all that were slain upon the earth, because she claimed to be the bride of Mashiach. And she was killing the prophets, the true prophets of the Most High. She was killing the saints, anybody that didn't practice like her. They didn't do what she said to do. Just tormenting them and killing them. Keeping their bones up under the church. So he said, come out from her. Because this is a false church. This is a false calling out. This is a false woman. This is a prostitute. The woman of the Most High, his bride, can't be a prostitute. She can't be fornicating with other gods, other Elohim. Come out of her. But you got so many that don't want to come out of her because they don't want to believe that they believe a lie. That's really what it comes down to. They don't want to believe that they believe a lie. And so they want to continue worshiping other gods, not realizing when they celebrate Christmas, when they celebrate Easter as Easter, when they celebrate Halloween, when they celebrate all these holidays and feast days that have other deities tied to them, they don't want to accept that they are fornicating with other Elohim. And the church is saying it's okay. The church is celebrating Christmas. The church is celebrating Easter. The church is celebrating Halloween, All Saint Day or All Hallows Day. The church is teaching them to fornicate with other Elohim. This woman, come out from her, okay? My people. Now, we're going to need to look and see who the people are in a few. But I'm dealing with Israel right now. So if you are an African-American, if you are in the diaspora in whatever country you're in, and you are in the Christian church this way, and they're teaching you to worship on Sunday, teaching you to keep the feast days of the world, pagan gods, then you are part of the whore of Babylon. And the Most High says, come out of her, my people. But only his people will be able to hear this. Only his people. It won't be given to anybody else to understand it because they will not want to hear it. They will want to stay where they're at. Let's keep moving. So the people of Yah, the people of the Most High, are commanded to come out of the false churches and out of government. That's why when brothers say, you know, America is Babylon, then if you leave America, where are you going to go? Because if you understand Babylon, then you understand Babylon is any government run by men. Man controls the planet right now. You cannot leave out of the earth and go anyplace that man isn't running in control right now. That won't happen until Messiah returns. But if the brothers had understanding, they would not be teaching that the United States or New York City is Babylon. They would understand that Babylon is all government. So come back to the Most High and keep his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. Nobody knows better for man than the Most High, but man thinks he knows what's best for himself. So let's look at the remnant. Because he says, come out of her, my people. Okay, and I'm talking to Israel right now. We're going to deal with the Gentiles later. Depends upon how fast I can talk or how fast the Most High wants to go. Or we will deal with the Gentiles tomorrow morning in this same area. Again. The book of Isaiah chapter 10. And we're going to get verse 21. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 21. The remnant shall return. Even the remnant of Jacob. So we have the remnant mentioned twice here. Unto the mighty Elohim. How much of Israel is going to return to the Most High? The remnant, a remainder. Not all Israel is going to return to the Most High. Not all Hebrews are going to return to the Most High. A remnant of Israel will return to the Most High. Now let's look at this word remnant. In Isaiah chapter 20, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 21. That word remnant is arsear in the Hebrew. A remainder, other, a remnant, a residue, the rest, not all. So the best word to use here would be either the residue or the remainder. Now, who are these remainders? Who is the residue? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 6. Go to Ezekiel chapter 6 and start in verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 6 starting in verse 1. And the word of Yah came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them. Set your face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them, and say, You mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yah Elohim. Thus saith Yah Elohim to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys. Behold, I will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places, because Israel was worshiping in the high places, even the woman at the well. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, in the high places. That's where they worship Baal, the Lord. That's where they worship Baal. And he said, I'm going to bring a sword upon you mountains and you hills, Israel. And I'm going to destroy your high places. And your altar shall be desolate. And your images shall be broken. And I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols. Talking about Israel worshiping false gods, false deities, false Elohim in the high places. If he told Israel, don't you do it to me. Don't worship me like they worship their Elohim. Only come to worship me in the place that I put my name. And I'm not putting my name in every high place or in every valley or in every grove of trees. Only where I put my name in. But Israel loved going up on the high places and worshiping. Even Solomon, the wisest man in the world, did it. Matter of fact, most of the kings did it. This is one of the big complaints that the Most High had with Israel and with the kings. He commanded Joshua, when you go into the land, tear down their high places, tear down their altars, burn them with fire. But Israel turned around instead and went and worshiped on those same altars rather than tearing them down. And I will lay the dead carcasses of your children, of the children of Israel, before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places, the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and ceased, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. Yet I will leave a remnant. Now, the remnant are those who escape of the sword among the nations. He's going to scatter Israel among the nations. Remember that. I will leave a remnant, and you may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when you shall be scattered through the country. For most of us, I'm going to always have a remnant. I'm going to always have a certain group of people who are going to do what I said to do. The rest of y'all, I'm killing. So the remnant are the faithful to the Most High that he allows to escape. Okay, so remember that word, remnant, the remainder. They're really the righteous, those that obey his voice, said to do. Don't worship other gods. Don't fornicate with them. Don't go and have Christmas and then come back and tell me you love me. when you know Christmas is not tied to me? The remnant. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captive. So we understand that this is the first Israel. The remnant, but not everybody that is dispersed. It's those that are keeping his statutes, laws, and commandments in spirit and in truth. Not just understanding that they're Israel and that they're trying to keep the commandments and steadily breaking them. Steadily making up their own laws and their own interpretation of the scriptures. The Most High is only looking for those who are righteous. Not those that pretend to be righteous. Not those that portray that they're righteous and then they're doing other things. Not talking about them. That's not who he's going to save. That's not who the remnant points. Verse 9 again. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captive, because I am broken with their whorish heart. Going around worshiping other gods. And see, that's why I say for the Hebrews that are in America who don't know that they're Hebrews, who are in the churches, who are supporting you, worshiping and celebrating Christmas and Easter, New Year's, Halloween, Thanksgiving, all, you know, the 4th of July, and in whatever country you're in, whatever they're telling you that it's okay to celebrate and to worship, and you know there's a deity other than the Most High behind it, and let me correct that. You know there's a deity that they have attached, also the Most High to this day, trying to make it a Christian holiday, a Christian observance. But the Most High says, I didn't give you those days, and I don't share anything with anyone, not another deity. Period. Especially not another deity that you think is a god. I'm a jealous deity, and so why do you think I'm going to share anything with another god? So they take these pagan holidays and they tie the Most High to them, trying to make them a quote-unquote Christian holiday, not understanding that they are whoring. They are worshiping these other deities unaware. Or they are aware and still doing it because they like the celebration. I grew up with this. So I want to keep doing it. They won't let it go. All right, so let's keep going. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captive, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which has departed from me. And with their eyes, which go a-whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. So Israel, the remnant, will know this and remember this and loathe themselves for this. How could we ever get caught up in that? And they shall know that I am Yah. And that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. Who did this unto us? Yah did. Why? Because our forefathers went a-whoring after other gods. That's why he did it. We got a whorish heart. We want to fornicate and sleep with other Elohim. But our Elohim has said, you shall not do this thing. And he calls us whores. So I scattered you, and I put you away from me. And I'm only going to say a remnant of you. Thus saith Yah Elohim, smite with the hand, and stamp with thy foot, and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by the pestilence. He that is afar off shall die of pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth, so it didn't matter if you were in a foreign land, the Most High is going to send a disease to get you. If you close by the homeland, I'm going to send a sword to get you. Either way, I'm going to get you because you're all doing the same things. You're whoring after other Elohim. And he that remains in the besieged shall die by the famine. So in 70 A.D., they put Israel in a siege, Jerusalem. I think it was for 3 years, and they started eating the children. That's why it says a woman would eat that which came from between her legs, and the tender man would kill his own relative to survive. And eat them. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. Then shall you know that I am Yah when their slain men shall be among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill and in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree and under every thick oak, as they went into the trees, the Asherim, and worshiped Asherah. That was those trees. Those green trees and those thick groves or the thick oak, they dedicated those to Asherah. And she's the same one that's Esther, that they worship at Easter. Of all their idols, so will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate. Yet, now the land desolate doesn't mean that there's not going to be men there. Desolate means there's not going to be any Hebrews there. I'm kicking you out of my land. Shall be desolate of you, Israel. And they shall know that I am Yah. All right. So he says, because of our forefathers' foolishness, he kicked us out of the land. And he sent pestilence and death after us, no matter where we were at. And then he scattered us into the nation. But he didn't cast us away. This was a discipline. You don't listen? All right, I'm going to discipline you. Because if he was punishing us, he said, then I would just utterly destroy you completely. You would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. But he left a remnant because he was disciplining Israel. But he's not going to take all of Israel back. He's not taking every Hebrew. He's only taking the remnant. And everybody that survived slavery and those things are supposed to be part of the remnant, but they got to come back to the Most High correctly. Even if they understand that they're Israel, they still got to come back correctly. They got to come back in righteousness. They got to accept Mashiach and then keep his statutes, laws, and commandments. And seek the Most High first and with their whole heart. They got to become good disciples. Or else they're just going through the motions because their motivation is not right. Okay. So verse 13 again. Then shall they know that I am Yah when their slain men shall be among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill, in the tops of the mountains, under every green tree, under every thick oak, and places where they did offer sweet savors or sweet incense to all their idols. So will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Dibal in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am Yah. Yah says, I'm going to make the land desolate of you. Go to Romans chapter 9. Because let's see if the Most High says this, or is this Brother Miles talking? Romans chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. The book of Romans chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. Isaiah also, or Isaiah, also cries concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. A remnant. A remainder. Not all. So when we go to Romans chapter 11, understand what all means here. And this is what Israel needs to understand, this first part. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. The all in this verse equals the remnant. So let me give you an example so you can understand this. Let's say that I have a bag full of balls. Say, bring me all of the red balls out of the bag. And there's red, green, white, and blue, purple balls in there. I said, bring me all of the red balls. Now, the bag represents Israel. The red balls represent the remnant. Now, throw away the bag. I don't want the bag anymore. I don't want what's in the bag anymore. Throw it away. I got the remnant. I got the balls that I want. I'm going to save all these balls. I don't care about the other balls. This is all Israel, the remnant. He says, only a remnant shall be saved. This is the remnant that he's talking about, those that he chooses, those that come into truth, those that obey his statutes, laws, commandments, his ordinance, and his judgment, those that believe in Mashiach, that serve him in truth and in righteousness, not pretend, not halfway, not still struggling with worldly things, chasing after women and getting it drunk and high and stealing and doing all kind of stuff. That's not who he's talking about. Those are the pretenders. Those are the ones that read the scriptures but have no understanding. They think they have understanding. They have their own understanding. So Israel needs to understand that the Most High fired Israel and said he would give the gospel to another nation. That he fired them because of they killed his son. And that when he returns, he's not saving all of Israel. He's only going to save a remnant of Israel. Those that are walking in true righteousness. So it don't matter if you're a Hebrew by blood. What matters is that you do what the Most High says to do, exactly what he says to do. Then you become part of the remnant. If you're not doing exactly what he said to do, if you're not giving him your whole heart, if you're not putting him first above everything, even your own self, he says you're not worthy of him. You cannot be his disciple. And he's not saving you. A lot of people walking around believing that they're saved and they are not saved. They just saying they're saved. Because that's what they need to hear. That's what they need to believe. So Israel needs to know those things. You got fired from your job. The Most High says he won't cast us off because he's going to make a new covenant. And this is what the Gentile churches need to understand. The new covenant. So tomorrow, because we're at 7:52, I'm still dealing with Israel because we're going to go back to Romans chapter 11 and we're going to start reading Romans chapter 11. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 11 all tomorrow. Unless the Most High takes me to some other places to show you by the scriptures. In Romans chapter 11 that Israel needs to hear because we say some things that are stupid. They're just flat out stupid. They're flat out against the word of the Most High. Period. And it's some things that the Gentiles need to understand. Because Gentiles are not replacing Israel. Not what the Most High is doing. Not, he has never said that. You got to understand his church. That's why we look at the church in the wilderness. We're going to look at the New Testament church. We're going to see who the Most High made the covenant with. For the New Testament church. And if the Gentiles are allowed in, then they need to understand what they're coming into and stop, and they should be rooting for Israel, righteous Israel, rather than trying to replace Israel. So we're going to look at these things in the morning with the church to know. Israel needs to know, hey, you got fired, you got scattered, and the Most High says, I'm only going to save a remnant of you. That remnant, after I said I'm only going to save a remnant of you, the remnant become the all. Everybody else is thrown away. Don't want you. You can't hear. It was never meant for you to hear. Go one more place. We'll end with this for tonight for Israel. This came to my mind. I think we were already there. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Now remember, he said that the gospel, he spoke to the masses in parables so that they could not understand. Okay. And this at the time applied to Israel, but it applies to the world today, to Israel and the world. It's not meant for everybody to understand. Okay, so let's just get, go verses 1 through 12, and we will call it a night. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass afterwards, he went through every city, village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of Elohim. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Jonah, the wife of Tuzah, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked some, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears to hear, let him understand. Not just hear these words, but let him understand. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? We don't understand. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of Elohim, but unto others in parables, that seeing they might see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of Elohim. Those that by the wayside are they that hear, then come the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart. And they should believe and be saved. And they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and they have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth, and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and bring not no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he has lighted a candle, but covers it with a vessel, or pulls it under a bed, but sitteth on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. So in verse 12, he says, those that by the wayside are they that hear, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. So he didn't want them to understand, so they can't be saved. Let's get that. Yeah, we'll start, stop there. I said I would stop there. We're at 7:58. So understand, Israel. You got to understand that the Most High cast us off. He fired us. Messiah said, the kingdom, because you kill me, the kingdom shall be taken from you and given to another people. And he says, a people that are no people. I'm going to make you jealous with a people that are no people. That means that they don't really have an ethnicity. That's the church. The church involves all people. And they have gone around and conquered just about all people and brought them into the church. I'm going to give them the gospel, and they're going to do it by faith. But then I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to save you if you can come into belief. I'm going to wake you up. And the belief that you have to come into is that you got to serve the Most High the way your forefathers never did. You got to believe. That's what you got to know as a Hebrew Israelite. You got to repent for the sins of your forefathers and your sins, and serve him the way that he wants to be served, like your forefathers never did. That's what Israel needs to know. Not all of us are going to be saved. Most of us, I'm saving a remnant. You don't get to do what you did to me and go unpunished. I'm not saving all of y'all. I wanted to save all of y'all. I wanted y'all to all be a nation of kings and priests. I wanted y'all to all be a nation of priests to the world, but you rejected me. Your forefathers rejected me and killed me, put me to death, not knowing who I am. So you don't get to do that and go unpunished. I'm not going to, because of my word, as I gave my word to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm not going to utterly kill all of you. I'm not going to make you like Sodom and Gomorrah, where nobody never heard of nobody from Sodom and Gomorrah except for in writing. Nobody comes and says, hey, I'm from Sodom, I'm from Gomorrah, because you should have been at Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not going to do you like that. I'm going to keep a remnant for my name's sake. But that remnant is going to be those that wake up and keep my word, that worship me the way that I want them to worship me. Not those that wake up and get caught up in Hebrewism. And they're keeping my statutes, laws, and commandments because they don't want to look like somebody else. But they're still breaking my statutes, laws, and commandments. They're playing a game. I don't want them. I want the true ones, just like I only want the true ones from the Gentiles. We'll get into that tomorrow. I only want the true ones from the Gentiles. I'm not saving all of them either. So we'll get into that tomorrow. With that being said, may the Most High bless you from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments safe. Shalom, and have a blessed rest of your Sabbath evening. And have a blessed rest of your Sabbath evening. Mm-hmm. And roll the credits, Eddie.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe. And everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect.
Brother Gary, I think you sleep over there.
Wake up, Brother Gary.
All right, peace and blessings to everyone.